This is 69, the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry since the dawn of man, first online and now as a podcast. The goal on here is to make listeners aware of interesting companies, smart people, and new technology developments, all of them meaningful in making digital signage projects happen. I try to help listeners understand sometimes complicated subjects and why they should care. The podcasts are free and I try to get a new one out weekly, but things happen now and then. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported since the start by Jeremy Gavin and the fine folks at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 has been around since 2006, and the publication and podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which provides customer engagement solutions for business. You can find them at spectrio.com. The Munich-based digital signage consultancy Invitus has been doing an annual yearbook publication for the past decade that is now something of an industry bible for the European and Middle Eastern markets. And with each annual edition, it gets a little more detailed and broader in its scope. The company does a German version and another one in English to service the rest of the region. There are many, many industry reports out there purporting to have a real understanding and data about the digital signage industry. But most of those reports are expensive and frankly not worth the money. The Invitus yearbook, in contrast, is rich in detail and full of insights from people who know the business at an expert level. And the best part, it's a free download, with the report bankrolled by sponsor advertisers. I caught up with Florian Rotberg, one of the principals at Invitus, to talk about this year's insights and why the focal point for 2021 was on what they call green signage. Florian, thank you for joining me. You're just back from Dubai.
Well, thanks for having me. Yeah, it was very exciting in Dubai. Big Expo 2020. And we spent a few days there. It was still very hot, but fascinating to see how immersive digital signage can be in today's shows.
Yeah, there's digital signage all through the Expo site, right?
Oh, it's fascinating. I mean, it's LED, a lot of projection. During normal times, you don't see that much projection, but, you know, in these special country pavilions, 180 of them, it's fascinating to see. And it's also great to see, you know, what works and what doesn't, you know, because some of the countries, you know, ran out of money or, you know, never really had a good plan, and you feel it immediately. So you enter the room, and it's like, oh, that's crap, you know, I will leave it again. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, sometimes you have to wait 2 to 3 hours, you know, in some of the very popular pavilions. So then it's not a good experience. But no. In general, it's fascinating to see. And you know what's the coolest thing? It's not only LED and projection, but it's also how that's really integrated in architecture. And not only how it integrated into the room, but also a lot of mirrors. So one of my favorite things, and I've talked about it many times before, it's really how you combine signage, how you combine LED or projection with mirror. You can do fantastic things, and you see some really cool pavilions there.
Yeah, there was a new observatory that just opened up in New York, overlooking Madison Avenue in Midtown, and it's got a big LED wall, but it's also like three levels of mirrored ceilings and floors and walls and everything else, and reflects like crazy. I was trying to wrap my head around it, but it's that kind of thing where it becomes this sort of infinite space.
Exactly. And it feels immersive, and it can create great, great experiences there. And we took 1,400 photos and 70 hours of video. So we'll put everything together, and the next weeks we'll publish it. So Invitus Meets World on YouTube, you can watch it. And we will show a lot of stuff also at IC, obviously.
Yeah. And what is Invitus X World?
Invitus Meets World, we started it, to be honest, before the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And we decided, because, you know, signage is so much about, you know, content, so much about the whole room. It's not only the digital canvas, but, you know, how people move in front of the screen, and, you know, what the brand or, you know, the vendors really want to achieve. And so we decided, no, we have to travel. We have to go there. We have to talk with the people who designed it. And we have to, you know, just experience ourselves, and then to, you know, to tell the audience, you know, how it really feels. So we just, you know, hired a camera team, and we went off. And the first was right in the pandemic. We went to Sweden and to Berlin, you know, which is still both in Europe, so it was mm-hmm. easier to achieve, to reach. And we spent always a week there and talked with, you know, dozens of experts and visited museums. Some of the museums just opened for us because they were all closed because of lockdown. And we went, you know, to Volvo, to H&M, to different places, to headquarters, and talked with the guys who are responsible for that. And it's a fascinating show. And people like it, and we get quite good feedback.
So we're working in a visual medium and you're actually using video?
Yes.
How clever.
Well, to be honest, you know, I always try to admit, you know, I thought, you know, photos is so cool, it's so easy, but unfortunately your video is so much better, but it's very expensive. It's not, you know, just spending a week somewhere, but you have the whole camera team and we're almost like a broadcast team, you know. You have a video, mm-hmm. you have a sound guy, you have a producer, and you have to feed them, and they're sometimes difficult. So you have to manage them almost like kids. But at the end of the day, you get some really good footage afterwards, and it's worth the trouble.
For people who haven't been to Dubai, it's as you say, it's fascinating. It's I find it extremely weird. But is the degree of digital signage there, all these projects, and a lot of them are big, big budget projects, are they instructive or are they one-offs where you look at them and go, well, that's really cool, but nope, that's not something that's ever going to scale out?
It's changing. In the past, it was just the wow and just the wow of the moment. Yeah. And afterwards, they all forgot about it. Nobody cared about maintenance. And after a year, it just looked horrible, absolutely horrible, because nobody invested into content and nobody cared right. about it. And to be honest, even till today, the majority of the digital touchpoints are still not really connected to any backend systems or so. Mm-hmm. There are various reasons for that. One is, you know, they laugh when they open something and then they forget about it. People change jobs really fast. So even the person who's responsible for that, you know, leaves the job after a year or so and then he's gone. So nobody has ownership anymore. And last but not least, you know, these countries are comparable small. So reaching scale is very difficult. You know, even big chains maybe have 10, 15, 20, maybe 40 stores or so. So, you know, getting scale, it's difficult. So they're interested in the wow, unfortunately not so much into, you know, 4 to 5 or 7 year old, 7 year long contracts and concepts.
But you said it's changing?
It's changing. It's changing. Yeah, it's getting smarter. It's getting more connected. To be honest, you know, the region is the most digital advanced region at all, you know, very young population. You know, they have 2-3 mobile phones, each of them, and they're very, very open to all of this stuff. So it is changing. And we talked while we were, you know, producing Invidus Meets World there, we were talking to Etisalat, which, you know, which is the biggest yep. telecommunication company there. And we visited one of their flagship stores, and they have now 170 stores. And they're really, really good connected. And they really think in customer journeys. And it's, we also visited the smart hospital. Really cool. You identify yourself when you enter the hospital with your ID card. And then, you know, it takes a photo of you. And then you walk through the hospital and always detects you and makes sure that you're in the right room, that, you know, the right person is there and everything. So very, very smart. And they really started thinking into journeys and to improve processes. So the smart hospital, the process before was 3 days, you know, with all the examinations, everything until you got the stamp for your visa renewal. And mm-hmm. now it's down to 30 minutes. So, I mean, this is incredibly, and this is only possible with digital. So that's quite cool.
All right. So I wanted to chat for a number of reasons, but the principal one to kind of hang this on is the yearbook that Invidus puts out. And could you explain what that is and how it works?
Some people call it the Bible of the industry. I'm not sure if I would call it that, but yeah, it's an annual book we publish already for 11 mm-hmm. year now, and it's free to download on Invidus.com, and it's basically, you know, gives a yearly update about latest trends. We have lots of ranking in there, so especially this year was quite interesting. You know, the largest CMS providers worldwide, for example. And, you know, which verticals are most important for digital signage, for example. And we just give, you know, an analysis of the market, what has happened, and also an outlook, you know, what trends are coming up and what to understand. And the main topic this year is green signage. Mm-hmm. I know many of your listeners are based in North America, but over here in Europe, it's a huge topic. I mean, the climate conference is coming up next week, COP26. And especially during the pandemic, really the interest in more sustainable solution has improved dramatically. And so more and more brands are looking to also operate their signage networks more sustainable. And what's most interesting when we did all the research is that 80% of the carbon footprint of a digital signage project is doing operations. So the 5-6 years, the whole thing is operating. It's not so much the production. It's not so much the shipping. Yes, it's still 10-20%, but 80%, that's the biggest lever. And so it's not only about buying more sustainable, more conscious signage solution, but it's really about how to improve existing installation. And there are so many things you can improve, you know, and you can reduce power consumption. It's with the right content. It's, you know, turning it off at night. It's mm-hmm. so unfortunate that the majority of the signage things run 24/7, even if there are no people around. So kiosk systems, they all run 24/7. There's no reason, you know, if a kiosk system is somewhere in a factory, a floor, and the shop is the floor is closed, the factory in the evening or at night, it's still running because it was at this in the beginning, and especially with LED, obviously, you know, LED consumes a lot of power. So there are a lot of levers and ways to, you know, to be more conscious and more sustainable.
Do you think part of that is simply the early days, the kind of the legacy of digital signage software and hardware is you were afraid to kind of power it down because would it come back?
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's the main thing. At least that's what the technical integrators always say. Some, especially on some, you know, more recent screens, they also turn off the sensors, you know, the light sensors and everything, because the marketing department wanted the red as close as possible to their official red, you know, and obviously that doesn't work, you know, if you change the brightness of the screen, but things are changing really fast. And what's most interesting now with, you know, with the pandemic and with all this about sustainability, digital signage has also become a CEO topic for the first time. In the past, CEOs never really cared about digital signage, it was just a display. But now they really have to report to their shareholders, you know, how they could improve operations, you know, where they could reduce the carbon footprint. And digital signage plays an important role there.
Interesting. The yearbook is primarily focused on Europe, right? And the Middle East?
Yes, that's how we started. We started with Germany and then we extended it. And now it's more or less all over Europe. Every year we add a few more countries. Last big thing was the Nordics, and currently we're working on France, Spain, and UK. So next year we will also have rankings for these countries. And especially in Europe, you know, most markets were quite national markets. And now, you know, some bigger international players are really, you know, growing. And so Europe is more seen as one market. And so it's important to cover all of them. And that includes the UK.
Yeah, despite Brexit. Is what happens in Europe indicative of what is happening globally, or is it kind of its own thing?
Well, I mean, the whole green stuff is probably in the most advanced in Europe.
Because, yeah, you don't even hear about it in North America. I've never heard anybody bring it up.
Yeah, but over here, I mean, we have talked, you know, especially in the Nordics. In the Nordics, it's very, very important. And just for example, you know, electricity is 10 times more expensive in Germany compared to Korea, for example, 10 times. Wow. So, you know, even the designers and the engineers, you know, who create new solutions, they're not aware of, you know, how important power consumption is and what big roles play. And so life is changing. And I think with all the whole climate debate we are currently having and COP26 and everything. So I think it will become more important, not only in Europe, but will also come to the US.
And I know that it's Europe and the Middle East primarily. It is, I've heard other people talk about the real action these days being in China and in India. And I wonder how hard it must be, particularly with China, to try to wrap your arms around who the major players are, what activities going on, any of those things.
Yeah, I mean, China is a very difficult market. It has a lot of potential, but it's very difficult as an analyst really to look at the market, and it's so different. Interestingly enough, there are a few bigger digital signage integrator based in with their home head office in Europe and North America who also have offices in China, and they're pretty much doing the stuff for all the big luxury brands and so. So there are some European and then North American guys who really, you know, they're really doing stuff in Shanghai and the big cities. But it's a general market is just huge. And you probably talked to Chris Regal or so, because you know, he's very successful in India and in China or so, but he's targeting more the mid-market. The European players, you know, they're just looking at how to bring Italian and French brands to China with local offices there.
And those European brands and other brands they would rather bring familiar companies into the country to do that for them as opposed to hiring local firms?
At the end of the day, that's the case. But that's also with North America. That's the success of Mood Media, to be honest, you know. Mood Media, you know, their strength in Europe is that they represent America, the American customers here.
Hmm. So what is happening in terms of the yearbook? Obviously, we're hopefully coming out of a rather rough couple of years. I noticed in the report that the countries in Europe, at least, that had a particularly rough time were France and the UK versus some of the other countries that were down, but not to the same level. Why did that happen?
Well, because of the lockdown. We had different levels and different length of lockdown. And just look in Australia, you know, they had a 3-month lockdown now. That obviously has huge impact because the stores were closed. And even, you know, if the brands were willing to spend money and to upgrade their stores, they couldn't because, you know, technicians weren't allowed to enter the store.
Mm. And is it still the case, I know in past discussions around this, that Europe's an interesting market in that dominant players in many respects are dominant by country as opposed to across the continent?
That has been the case, absolutely, but this is currently changing. So we have, like, we call them the top three, and that's Treson from Spain, that's Zeta Display from Sweden, and the third one is M-Cube from Italy. These are the three largest pure play digital signage integrators, and they have all been acquired more or less by private equity, and now they're buying, you know, competitors in the big markets, and all three of them really try to grow to a pan-European player or international player even.
But in relative terms to the North American guys like ABI, SPL, Diversified, and Stratacache, they're tiny, right?
Yes, they're tiny. They hope to change that. Yeah, but they're very, very small. Yeah, absolutely. But to be honest, you know, if you look at ABI, SPL, or even Diversified, you know, they're not pure digital signage. They do a lot of pro IV, a lot of IT stuff, or so. So yeah. you should compare apples with apples. But still, you know, they're X times larger than the biggest in Europe. No question about it.
But AVI, SPL just announced, I think it's called the Experience Technology Group. So they seem to be recognizing that they need to get more serious about signage and, you know, just venue-based displays.
Oh, yeah. And I love what they do. I mean, they're really smart, you know, in creating this platforms to manage, you know, different AV solutions and everything. So I think it's a smart approach. And also now looking how to create immersive experiences, because you can, if you have expertise there, you can really export it throughout the world. So that works quite well. But in Europe, we still have the problem, you know, we have 25 different languages, and really creating concepts, which, you know, you need to understand the culture. And yes, there's a big difference between Sweden and Spain or Italy and Ireland or so. So really to understand that. And that was the reason why there were larger local players. And still, if you look how these big three, or at least big three for European sizes, how they're growing, they all build up little local creative teams and sales team in each country, because you need to have this local expertise. You need to speak the language of the client, and you need to understand what they really want to achieve.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit ScreenFeed.com to explore the 75-plus content options we've created to do just that. And then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
You've done a ranking of the top 10 global CMS software platforms, and I'm making some assumptions that there are some CMS platforms in China that you or I have never even heard about that are probably huge as well. But were you surprised by who sort of showed up on this list?
Some surprises, yes. I mean, there's a small asterisk next to it, so it's just the best of our knowledge, obviously.
You know?
Yeah, I'm sure there are many. And one big problem is always Samsung. They never report anything, magic info. And it's really, really difficult. So the largest one, top one, is Stratacache, with a little bit more than 3 million licenses, active licenses. One of the surprises was the top three player was Navori, for example. I'm not sure if many of your listeners really have heard about Navori. They're based in Switzerland.
They're pretty big in North America, actually.
So big in Europe, funnily enough. They're much bigger out of Europe. And yes, they have more than 1 million active subscribers. So that's quite cool. And then you see some more vertical one like Uniguest, who obviously, you know, growing through acquisitions a lot. Mm-hmm. And specialists like BroadSign. It's great to see. I mean, same as you, you know, we have followed BroadSign more than 15 years now. And it's great to see how they have become the standard in the digital out-of-home industry. It's quite impressive.
Yeah, they've risen to a level where they pretty much own that vertical. And I always try to coach software companies that, you really don't want to be a generalist. You want to have a focus on something or other and be the guys. And they more probably more than anybody have done that in digital out of home.
Yeah, but the same with Uniguest or Fowinds Interactive. They all are specialists, or at least they're focusing more and more on certain vertical markets.
Yeah, Fowinds barely calls itself a digital signage company now. They talk about workplace. And same with AppSpace.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, AppSpace. They both, I think, just announcement was AppSpace today, right?
So what are you seeing in terms of trends in the industry? As you mentioned, the shift to or the interest in green signage is one thing. What else are you seeing happening out there?
Well, the biggest challenge currently across the world is to manage the shortages. Supply chain shortages, unfortunately, that won't go away in 2022. If you read the Financial Times, if you talk to all the people, you just read it every day. Most people expect that to last at least until the end of next year. And that's pretty bad news because, you know, the order books are as full as they've never before, as they've never been before. So, you know, there's a lot of demand for signage after the pandemic or at the end of the pandemic, to put it correctly. And unfortunately, 22 will be still a difficult year. Secondly, we have a shortage of talents. And whoever you talk to, and I'm sure you also get the calls, you know, we're desperately looking, you know, for a new manager, X and X.
Oh, yeah.
I get them every day. Yep. And that's a huge, huge issue. And the third shortage is diversity. Shortages of women and of everything. It's still a very male-dominated thing. And today, Infocom opened, and I'm sure the majority of them are men, as always.
Yeah.
And so we see these three shortages, supply chain shortages, talent shortages, and diversity. It's the biggest challenges.
Yeah. When I get asked to organize panels, particularly with an organization like AVIXA, which has diversity initiatives and everything else, they really kind of encourage me to make sure that I'm finding women and people of color and so on. And, you know, I'm completely supportive of that, but it's hard.
It is hard. Yeah. And it's not easy. I fully understand. There's also, besides digital signage, when you look more in the new work in the hybrid world, it's all about hybrid. And that's very, very challenging for everyone. It's easy to have everyone at home and it's easy to have everyone, you know, on location, but managing these hybrid workspaces is very, very difficult. How can you create meetings, you know, where everything feels included, mm-hmm. you know, and often you communicate with eyes or with everything. And that's very difficult to do it if half of the people are somewhere, you know, at home or so. So it's you need lots of creativity and innovative solutions to manage that. So that's also something which will definitely remain, unfortunately.
And we're seeing gimmicks coming up there, like this idea of the metaverse and you know, using quasi holograms so that it feels like you're sitting across from a real person when it's not, obviously. Do you see any potential for that stuff?
To be honest, it's a one way road because it's nice for the guys who are in the office, but for the guys who are sitting at home in front of this small screen, it doesn't help them at all. Mm-hmm. And you need to have both sides and you need to empower both sides. And so I think at the end of the day, it's difficult to solve and we haven't seen any solution. I've seen the cool teleportation stuff. And last week in Dubai, there was also Jitex, which is the biggest IT show. Yep. It was unbelievable how full it was again. It felt like before the pandemic. And they had this cool mirrors and everything. So it looked like, you know, somebody was in the room. Obviously, he was in Italy or so. And so it's great to see, but it doesn't help people at home. So that still remains a challenge.
And I've wanted to go to that Jitex show. I've seen some video of like the Eddie Salat booth and some other companies like that. And it looks insane.
It is. Especially at the Eddie Salat booth, people were waiting an hour and more. Can you imagine that? Just to enter the booth because it was so full. It was unbelievable. I mean, we all had to wear a mask, no question about it, but it was still, you know, we waited more than an hour just to get on. So yeah, it was amazing. And we produced lots of video and we will publish that in the next couple of days. And it's really cool stuff, especially in regards to, you know, retail technology, all the cool stuff, you know, all the fancy thing with robots and so, but also, you know, the more things like AI and how it really works and some simpler solutions, you know, with these checkout cards and everything. And also, you know, these devices which measure you, you know, so you don't have to, you know, so you find the right size, you know, without using camera technology, because obviously that's something which is, you know, most people don't like that. So it's interesting to see what kind of solutions are out there. And much of the stuff, it's really something where you think, you know, oh, that would be great if they would roll that out in the future. And the majority of them is still in this, you know, in this prototype phase, but hopefully we will see lots of this coming up.
Yeah, your report coined a term, deep signage, which I'd not seen before, but I understand it. This idea of integrating with back office systems, with other business systems within a company. It sounds like that's, particularly in Dubai, is really coming into play.
Yeah, we try to form this term deep signage because for us it's so important that you connect as much as possible. As long as digital is just a layer on something existing, it won't really, you know, offer the experiences everyone needs and the benefits. So it's really, you have to connect it to the back office. And especially when we talk moving away from just digital signage, CMS, all the way to digital experience platforms. You know, then you really need to mix everything and really connect them. So deep signage is something we believe, you know, it's one step towards digital experience platforms.
Yeah, and how do you define digital experience platforms?
Oh, that's difficult.
In 10 words or less.
Yeah, we have when you download our book, you see that we have a little graph there, a little picture there, and it's like we have four stages. We start with a digital poster, which is the most simple one. Then we have digital signage. We have a digital signage experience platform, and then the ultimate is digital experience platform without the signage. So, and because there's a totally different approach to it. When you talk about DXP, it's not digital signage or mobile or online which is in focus, but it's really the data, it's the experience which is in focus, regardless on which channel you play it out. And it's really an orchestration of all of different channels and different stories and media platforms. And that's what digital experience platform is about. But then always, you know, many customers ask us, you know, so who does it? You know, who's good at it? And it's very, very difficult. There are only very few companies, and most of them are the totally vertical organized players like Inditex, for example, Zara, I'm sure you know them. And because they do everything, they own the factory, they own the warehouse, they own the shops, everything, and they own the data. And for them, it doesn't matter, you know, if you go in the store, try something out and decide to buy it online, because they own the whole value chain. And this is one of the few companies who really, really are able to deliver a DXP and make the most out of it. So, but more will come, definitely.
If you're a smaller company, is it something you can even contemplate at a different kind of scale?
No. It's not worth it. I think you need to be large, very large. To be honest, to really put up a DXP project, you probably need a few million just for setting it up.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned private equity companies and some of the integrators in Europe. Are you seeing a lot of private equity activity?
Yes, unbelievable. So much money in the market. I mean, that's the reason why consolidation is speeding up so fast. It's unbelievable.
And why do you think that is right now? Is it distressed companies?
No, we were surprised. Not at all. But maybe that's also a European thing because the governments took care of that. And so most of them kept their employees, which is a good thing now because, you know, they then have to retrain new people or so. So yeah. It's not about that. It's more about that there's the crisis wasn't really an economic crisis. It was more a human crisis. And so most companies still have a lot of money, except if you're a Chinese real estate company, then maybe you're in trouble. But in general, they have a lot of money. The private equity companies, they are looking for new ways of spending it, and they all buy into the digitization of stationary retail. They fully understand that times have changed and you can only survive if you fully digitize. And so that's probably why they like it. And then there are also some other trends like, well, we had the first valuation of more than 100 million in Europe, you know, as an integrator. And this is one of the thresholds where, you know, private equity likes to come into the market. So
was that Zeta Display?
That is a Zeta Display, yeah. They were almost at valuation of 100 million. I mean, it's not much compared to the top three in the US, but, you know, for Europe, that's quite big. And so, yeah, and that opened and that made it really interesting for many other players too.
You also in the report talk about changing roles of the different companies in the ecosystem and how there are dinosaurs, disruptors and discoverers. What do you mean by that?
That's quite interesting, especially when you look at software companies, they're reinventing themselves. In the past, when you look
some
at the
of them
value,
are.
Exactly. And in the past, there was, you know, the value chain, and there were clear defined roles. You know, there was an integrator. The integrator usually owned the lead with the customer, and he chose certain software and certain hardware, and that was it, basically. And then he did some stuff in the back. But this is not changing, because I think Chris Wiegel was the first one when he acquired Scala. He said, you know, oh, I'm sick of just having 3-5% of the project. You know, I want to have more. And so he decided to build around software, you know, this whole end-to-end solution. Mm. And there are no other companies, software companies like Grassfish and Vertiseit. Many of your listeners probably haven't heard about them, but they're from Sweden, and Grassfish from Europe, from Vienna. And Vertiseit just acquired Grassfish this year, and they're really also, you know, trying to change the way the value chain works. So they really want to be a ISV plus. So they want to do everything except the hardware. Obviously, investors love that, you know, because that's everything what scales and which has recurring revenue, and nobody wants to touch hardware. And Chris Wiegel always tells us, you know, but you need to also to understand hardware and to manage it. Otherwise, you know, your service and your maintenance will be really expensive. So it's interesting to see if this ISV plus model really works out for them.
So that sounds like the dinosaurs are those who refuse to kind of adjust and adapt, and the disruptors are those that are making difference or doing things differently.
Yeah. We have some smaller, more aggressive players coming into the market, and player like Spectrio. You know, many people haven't heard about them, but now they become really relevant.
And there are also companies that, in some cases, very large companies that can come into the market from outside, like consulting companies, the Deloittes and so on, and disrupt things as well, right?
Oh, absolutely. Yes. On a different level. But yes, I mean, the Accenture, Deloitte, Digital, all of these guys, they are really close to the big enterprise customers. So usually they do, you know, at least, you know, double digit, sometimes triple digit, contracts with these blue chip companies every year. And they're trusted names. So it's an easy one for BMW, Adidas, Nike or whatever, you know, to hire one of them and to ask them to create a new digital concept. Unfortunately, most of them don't know how digital signage works.
Yes.
They know that's because they have
small problem.
Yeah, so they always invent this great stuff, you know, it looks fantastic on PowerPoint and everything. But then at the end of the day, they need to, you know, subcontract a digital signage contractor or so to solve the whole thing and make it work. And we have seen how also the big four, you know, really have failed. The big service companies, and so it's interesting, but eventually, you know, they will buy some digital signage companies and get the know-how inside,
or hire smart people. I mean, over here in North America, I think about Gensler and Publicis Sapient, and they've got some super smart people working for them now who really get this space and get the technology and everything else. So they're getting there, but it's you know, like a very small percentage of people within very large companies.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Gensler. It's fascinating. And I'm sure we talk to the same people there. And it's really, you know, it's fascinating how they told us, you know, with new projects now, you know, they make more money with digital stuff, you know, with their traditional architectural work. Mm-hmm. So that's fascinating. I mean, not revenue-wise, but from bottom line. So, and that's interesting to see, because it's, you know, if you do digital consulting, obviously, your margin is higher than with your standard architectural work. So it's fascinating to see how architectural companies like this are really getting into the digital space. And if you don't see it as just a layer, you know, and really integrated, you need to plan it from day one. So it really makes sense.
Last question, is there a piece of technology or an emerging technology that gets you particularly excited?
We are both not the youngest anymore. We have seen many technologies come and go. And I know one thing that never works is 3D. So I was a little bit surprised to see how, you know, 3D in this forced perspective on this corner, these LED walls works. But I still think it's a hype, to be honest. to be honest, you know, analytics and sensors, you know, IoT will make a difference. No question about it. Is it one technology? No, it's more, I think, a mindset of connecting everything and measuring everything and adapting to the audience in the milliseconds. I think that's something will change. Is one technology? No, it's probably a whole range of different technologies.
Yeah, I'm of the same mindset. I tell people that the stuff that excites me would probably bore the pants off of them. And just in terms of it's the operational stuff. It's being able to affect some messaging based on what the data is telling you. And it may be
really boring saying go this way instead of that way because that's too busy over there or whatever. But that's fabulous stuff, and it makes a difference in how, you know, whatever venue it is works.
Exactly. It's more the stuff under the hood which really gets me excited.
Yeah.
And that's also where you can really improve processes, where you can really add value. And so that's what we are mostly working on. And obviously customers want to pay for the glittery stuff on top. Mm-hmm. The rest just to work. But no, but that's where we see the biggest changes happening in the future.
All right. So if people want to read the 2021 yearbook, how do they get it?
Well, it's free to download on Invidis.com, and I think you also published once an article, so you can also find it on your website, a link to that. But it's free to download. It's 200 pages, and not only this year's edition, but if you also want to read some older editions, please come to our website, Invidis.com, and download it there.
And you're able to produce it for free because you get advertising sponsors to, you know, to support it, right?
Yes, but it's still more work than what we get from advertisers. I can tell you that. But it helps.
Well. All right. It was a pleasure catching up with you, as always.
Thanks, Dave, for having me. Thank you.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and maybe you learned a thing or two. If you're new to 69, it's a podcast that's been around since 2016. You can click around the archive and find hundreds of conversations with smart industry people. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 169 at 16-9.net. You'll find more than 8,000 posts by me and expert guest writers about this industry. 169 is not a press release republishing mill like a lot of the stuff out there. If something makes it on 169, that means it matters in some way to the business. Everything about 69 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and the key one here is ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. Check out all the curated and automated content available at ScreenFeed.com. 69, the blog, and the podcast are now owned by Spectrio, which does customer engagement solutions, most of that digital signage, for all kinds of businesses. You'll find them in the Tampa area and online at Spectrio. That's Spectrio.com. You'll find me working out of a sunny back room in my house located outside Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.